Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 5020 is the budget for the state school fund, as you just mentioned. The LFO recommendation was actually sent out to you earlier this week. I will admit there is one minor change to the version that I sent you. You have the corrected version in front of you, and all it is on the appropriation bill, I inadvertently left out a 4 out of one of the numbers. It was just a minor $400 million, but it has been corrected. And so if you'd like, I'll just go through the LFO recommendation. Thank you. Please. There are three packages that we're going to deal with here today. The first one is package 451. It's the funding of the state school fund above the essential budget level. And the governor had recommended $193,858,248 in this package. The co-chairs have added an additional $2.1 million to that, bringing the totals to $196 million. It brings the increase in the state school fund about almost 13% over the 0507 legislatively approved amount. The next package is package 813, an adjustment for essential budget level local revenues. I had mentioned this one earlier. Since the governor's budget was released, local revenues have increased $17 million. Therefore, you can pay for the exact same level with $17 million less of state funds. So this reduction does not, it pays for the exact same essential budget level. It just takes into account that you have an increase of $17 million in local revenues. The last package is basically just a technicality package, a technical adjustment, if you will, if you can call $100 million a technical adjustment. It reduces the general fund by $100 million and increases lottery funds by $100 million, Mr. Chair. This is to take into account that the state school fund uses discretionary lottery funds, and based upon the latest revenue forecasts, we have adjusted in more lottery funds and adjusted out some of the general funds that can be used for other discretionary uses. I will give you a fair warning that depending on what kind of discretionary lottery funds end up being in the final budget, we may have to make a slight tweak there. It would be another, again, net zero change, but between the general fund and the lottery funds, we might have to shift those out before session. So that takes care of the LFO recommendations on the state school fund.
Thank you very much. And are you gonna continue on with anything else, or are you just gonna stop there?
Where are the budget notes for this budget?
Sorry, Senator Walker.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 5020 that I was just reviewing, where are the budget notes for those?
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, there is no budget notes directly related to the state school fund. There is one budget note for the school improvement fund, which I believe is the bill you're going to take care of next, and there are the budget notes that we had discussed last time for 5019, which is the operations and grant and aid budget.
Right.
Okay, is that the one? Because there's some sneaky funny business going on here with school for the deaf and school for the blind, and I don't know where those are.
Department of Ed. The third that we'll be doing.
All right.
No sneaky funny business so
there
far.
Not at this time.
Did I lose a senator?
Yes, you did.
You're dead. So, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but we may need that senator.
Okay. Perhaps I should take a recess.
No, we have still things to talk about.
All right. Well, does anyone comments on the discussion on the recommendations? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I ran for the school board in Eugene in 1994, and for the legislature in 2000, because this fund that we're voting on was inadequate. It remains inadequate. In order to adequately fund this budget, it would require more than an additional $1 billion. I'm going to support this bill today, not because I like it, but because it's the best we can do under the circumstances. No one should believe that we are providing an adequate number of teachers, an adequate class size, an adequate number of school days, an adequate mix of curriculum, adequate librarians, physical education teachers, music teachers, or other personnel that are necessary for our students to be well educated. This bill is not a good bill, it's just the best we can do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Other comments or questions? Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
I move approval of LFO recommendations for House Bill 5020.
Senator Devlin has moved approval of the LFO recommendation on House Bill 5020. Are there any objections?
Discussion, if I may.
Yes. Senator Morse?
Thank you. I appreciate discussion.
We're now at a difficult time, a very difficult time, in making these decisions. My concern is that as we look at the total allocation in our education subcommittee, that we are still not recognizing the great need that we have in higher education. And to move this budget, we're still the unknown, even though there is great appreciation for what we have added back, the co-chairs have added back for higher ed, it is still inadequate. The amount of money that we're allocating for K through 12, I can stand on at any time, any place, anywhere, to justify the amount of money that's in this. There's no question in my mind that what these funds are appropriate and are very much needed. But budgeting is the process of making allocations across numerous parts of the budget. And I would share with you data with respect to the desperateness of need. Representative Barnhart talked about that with respect to the K through 12 budget. But with respect to higher ed, if you go back to 1991 and you look at the percent disinvestment, the negative change in support for higher ed, and ask the question, how does Oregon compare? We rank 50 out of 50 states with a 41.4% disinvestment in higher education. Unfortunately, this phenomenon is not unique to Oregon. Most states in the nation, in fact, about three-quarters of them, have actually had a negative disinvestment. The national average is 13.5% negative change since 1991. Oregon's is 41.4%. If you translate that into funding per student, we rank number 45. We're at 5, and as of the date of this analysis, and of course it would change currently, but we're still in that ranking number 45 in terms of the percent of funding per student. Our peers, interestingly enough, Washington ranks 27th, Nevada ranks 20th, Idaho ranks 19th, and California ranks 11th out of 50 states. So my problem today is not the level of funding for K through 12. It's needed. It's the funding in the context of the broader need for education in the state and our lack of addressing what I would consider to be a crisis in higher education. And with that explanation, Mr. Chair, I respectfully would be a no on a budget that, an amount that otherwise I would be a yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, the year was 1997, first came to the Oregon legislature. At that time, in 1997, we appropriated $4.197 billion to the K-12 budget. That constituted in 1997 44.97% of the general fund budget. We are looking at if we carry that type of formula forward, and to carry it forward and to look at K-12 and say that it's worth less today than it was in 1997 is, in my opinion, foolish. If we were to fund K-12 today at the same level that we were funding it in 1997, and a couple of y'all were here with me in that year, we fought very hard to get to that level, we would this year be looking at an expenditure of $6.709 billion. Whatever we have done here and whatever we have ahead of us in this committee, we are once again taking a step backward by failing and refusing to deal with the root cause of what's going on. Now, I fully agree with Senator Morse. I can project on down for you, if you wish, what we would be spending today, what we would be budgeting for today, if put in the same percentages that we used in 97, and it was in 97 that the president of Oregon's University of Oregon went around the state talking about investing in higher education and how we were disinvesting in higher education at that time. But today's appropriation on the same level that we had a decade ago would be $1.153666 billion. Significantly greater than what we're looking at here. I could bore you with the additional statistics on community colleges and all of the others. The simple fact, the simple reality is, whatever it is that the state of Oregon is spending its money for, we are not spending it for education. Not in the same way that we have in the past. I'm not going to make any arguments here that some of the things we're spending our money for are inappropriate. That's not the purpose, I don't think, right now. My purpose is simply to point out that our education dollars are weighed in the balances and found wanting. I will support this budget with grave reservations. Grave reservations because, once again, Oregon children are going to be paying the price because we haven't addressed the problem in some other areas. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the hard work that's gone into this budget, and I think that the investment that we've been able to make in K-12 will stand us in good stead, and this is a good, credible start. I would also like to see more money in this budget, but I'd like to see more money in all of the budgets. The issue that I have is the same issue that we raised in this committee yesterday, that we aren't just building one room here. We are charged with building the whole house, and there is a whole bunch of the construction plans that are not yet known in areas in education budgets that are critically important, and that's already been very well discussed here, but also in other areas. I have real reservations observations in the human services budget about mental health delivery services, and the list could go on and on. And though I do very much appreciate this investment in K-12, and I think without question it's merited to make this investment, I'm going to be a no vote on this budget today because of the lack of clarity around the funding levels for other important areas, not only in education but in other policy arenas.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. No other discussion. Senator Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the best darn education budget I've seen in a long time. I mean, it's not perfect. It's not what we need. I agree with Representative Barnhart, but we put more money in there than the governor did. I think we've done a good job, but I'll have to tell you, it gets back to the statement I made the other day. It's restructuring our tax system. It's also focusing on that common school fund and making sure that we get investments and make money off that common school fund and direct our energies to do that. If you want to see a greater investment in public education in Oregon, that's one way to do it. But, you know, I think we're doing pretty well here with the money that we have. We can't fix all the ills of the state that have been happening for the last 16 years, but we can make a fresh start here, and I think we've done a pretty good job with this Department of Education budget. The other budgets we'll have more conversation about, particularly the operations and grant need. But as far as this one goes, this is a good investment in the school improvement fund. It's a great idea.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Senator Dyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I almost called you Mr. President. Mr. Chair. Two things just occur to me is that every 2 years we come together and we have this discussion that we're having now, and as I look at the members of this committee, the reason that we, I think, asked for and are on this committee is we all believe in education, higher education, and its centrality to for good moral reasons, but also for economic reasons. But we as a state, if you look at the dichotomy between we as a state, we have not, and our prison budget, our corrections budget, has grown faster than any state per capita in the nation. We're the only state west of Mississippi that spends more incarcerating Oregonians than on higher education. And so getting out of the tax structure that we have, and we know that we're a relatively low-tax state, 44th as of the last Census Bureau, also the decisions that we've made in this building have been to, unlike I think what we say often, is we haven't prioritized education or higher education. We've prioritized other parts of the state budget, and that's why we find ourselves, I believe, in this precarious situation of trying to shift money within the education budget, and the discomfort that we all might feel of celebrating a better education budget at the expense of, perhaps, hopefully you're correct, but perhaps at the expense of post-secondary education.
Thank you, Senator. Other comments? Okay, so before... Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duffy.
Probably we're going to go back there. I was just saying that even though we have no budget notes for this particular item, it might be good for Mr. Hill to comment on the budget notes that are in ODE that might affect these expenditures.
And thank you, Senator Devlin. Even before that, and this motion is still on the table, if you notice on, well, I'll just turn it over to Darren because there's one more element that he wanted to make sure that everyone was clear on and is on the record, which is in your packet. So,
Mr. Chair, on page two, the second item number two here is the appropriation bill amendments. The only thing I want to point out there is that the two changes on line 17 of page 2 and line 8 there, are these two changes are basically the two fiscal years. And so that's... Anyway, those are the two fiscal years. The change here would be a 48.7% the first year, 51.3%. When you combine that with the local revenues, that is about a 5.3% per year increase in those two numbers. And that's why we use that. We use the numbers from pledge revenue to help us do that, and that's why we came up with those percentages.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on that?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I do need to make one small change here. I just noticed this. It's not line 8 on for the second number. It is actually line 19. So that's a little mistake here. I apologize.
So where it says page 2, line 8,
it's
the fourth one down,
line 19.
It's line 19.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Is this a multiple choice exam?
In regards to the budget, to the performance measures, there are performance measures in the department's budget, and we would cover those in 5019. I'd be more than happy to cover the one that discusses package number 451 at this time, or you can wait and have that discussion. You can have that discussion now.
I would prefer to have it now, so we can just take care of this.
Sure. If you want, we can. If you'll pull out your packet for House Bill 5019, there is information in there regarding the performance measures. If you remember, actually, handed this out to the committee last week when we discussed the department's budget. What I have done is gone ahead and amended that to also include school improvement fund and the state school fund. To be perfectly frank, there's not a whole lot of discussion here. If you go to the last page of my recommendations, it'll talk about on the last page, it discusses policy option package 451. It's the next to the last discussion there. And basically, the department has identified it would have an impact on key performance measure number 3, which is student achievement. The agency has not identified a change in targets for the base of the package, but basically it's because the school districts, even what they may spend in a variety of different areas, and the timing and the amount of the impact may actually be somewhat difficult to measure. It is expected that there is an impact, but it may not even occur until 09-11, as we discussed during public hearing. So that particular package actually relates more to the budget that we're discussing right now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any discussion or question about that? So, Senator Devin.
Mr. Chairman, my motion to approve LFO recommendations includes all the clarifications that Mr. Harrell just identified.
No. I'd like the motion.
Thank you. That was very embarrassing. That was
very,
Mr. Chairman,
elegant and efficient at the same time.
Mr. Chairman, since virtually everybody has commented except for Mr. Hill, and I feel kind of left out because I don't comment, I just have a very brief comment.
Sure, Senator Devin.
I'm kind of in the middle, both here in Queens, between Senator Walker and Representative Barnhart. I don't believe this is a very good budget, but I actually believe it's the best we can do with the tools that have been given to us or the tools that we choose to use. To be quite honest, I think we're in this situation because decisions are made outside this building, sometimes for good or bad reasons. We switched from paying about 30% of school costs to paying about 70% with no change in the revenue system. We made some decisions that some of us think were not bad decisions in terms of looking at crime in a different way, and that's been extremely expensive, but we haven't actually been willing to actually pay the bill for doing that. And we have been looking at the needs of our citizens and trying to fulfill more and more of those human services needs, more than we ever have in the past. And we still have the same structure that we had in literally probably nine, you could say the year. We have the same structure that we had since the adoption of the income tax in the early 1930s. I think the way we made it through the 1990s was we had a burgeoning economy. We had a lottery that was producing more dollars than we ever anticipated it would produce. And to be quite honest, it's a recovering economy now and a lottery that's still producing more dollars than we ever anticipated. It's actually allowing us to basically put the Band-Aid still together. But I think given the tools that the voters have given us and given the tools that we've been willing to give ourselves, we're doing about as good as we can do on many of these projects.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Okay, so the motion on the table put forth by Senator Devlin was to approve the LFO recommendation on House Bill 5020, including the clarifications and changes made by LFO and Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to correct Senator Devlin for a moment. I was actually the only one who had spoke at that point. So I'm compelled to make one brief comment. Like the earlier speakers, I believe that this is not the best budget that can be imagined, but it is the best budget we can expect. My local school district announced their budget on Tuesday, and it will have a definite positive impact on learning opportunities for students in my district. My school board announced that their budget would see an increase of 9.6% over the previous biennium. And that means an additional 52 new teachers to reduce the average class size by one student across the district. It will allow them to accommodate some enrollment increases and offer more instruction in literacy, English, science, and math. So I'm pleased to vote in favor of this budget, knowing full well that it is still inadequate, but it's only a way to encourage us to do better in the future.
Thank you, Representative Edwards. So again, on the motion, and at this point, on the motion, I have objections from Representative Morgan and Senator Morse. Are there any other objections? Okay, hearing none, motion carries. Mr. Hill. Oh, yes, that's right. We have to... Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman.
Do you have to put you in the back of the class? We were talking with God.
Well, I have to say, Mr. Chairman, that I've usually always been in that role as a student, not a teacher. So
there you go.
Mr. Chairman, I move 50-20 with the LFO recommendations as clarified to the full committee with the due parents recommendation.
Senator Devlin has moved House Bill 50-20 with the LFO recommendations as clarified to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Thank you.
No.
Okay.
I'm waving at my
okay.
staff.
Objections? Senator Morse and Representative Morgan. Okay, noting those two objections, motion carries. And go ahead and do carrier now.
Yes.
Okay, Senator Devlin, will you carry to the Senate floor and
yes.
the full committee?
Yes.
Okay. And the chair will carry it to the House floor. We're done with that? Okay. Now, Mr. Hill, we're looking at 5021, correct?
Yes.
All right, so closing the work session on House Bill 5020, and I'm opening a work session on House Bill 5021, the School Improvement Fund. Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5021, the School Improvement Fund. Again, because life would be too simple if I hadn't made at least one change, there is one change to the draft that I had sent you the other day. It is on page 2. After having a discussion with Legislative Council, there is actually some clarifying language in the bill that the governor had originally drafted that talks specifically of who the grants may be given to. Leg Council thinks that it would behoove us to take out this language here as it could have a potential conflict with the bill that actually distributes the funds that has been going through the policy committees. So that's the one and only change to the recommendation from the version that I sent you. With that being said, the governor had originally proposed $60 million in the school improvement fund. The co-chair's budget increases that to $260 million, basically a $200 million increase. Therefore, that would be the LFO recommendation, along with the one change that I just discussed to the appropriation bill, and basically deleting Section 1 of the bill and replacing the $50 million with $260 million in Section 2.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments on the LFO recommendation?
Senator Decker, just to be brief, I think this is important. The School Improvement Fund is an important point for the state of funding it. We made the decision a few years back to do it, and I really believe this is an important of targeting some of the dollars that we put into K-12 for results that we can monitor and using evidence-based results. So I think this is a key decision that the state is making that hopefully would prove fortuitous for us in the future.
Thank you, Senator. Any other comments?
Well, I had issues with this.
Senator Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I had issues with this budget note that I sort of resolved with the co-chair, indirectly so. But we need to have a conversation about that in the next one. And I don't feel like we have anything to say about budget notes, so I'm going to address that with you next. But yeah, this school improvement fund, why we ever defunded it, was simply because we went into a funk with our budgets all over the state. We went into what I would call a mini depression. It was pretty bad, actually. And it was very short-sighted of us to take money out of this. But we've done a lot of work on it. We've made sure that the grants are still per ADMW. They're not competitive. So all school districts in the state can access these, which is really the idea that was intended when we discussed this in the interim. So I know there's a lot of school districts out there who are excited about the flexibility with these funds, and also there are accountability measures with them too, but there's flexibility to do the things they need to do in their districts, which are not the same statewide. So that's why this is important.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to make a couple comments about this performance measure. One, on a national level, when, you know, the National Conference of State Legislators utilizes kind of a slogan where they refer to the states as the national laboratory of ideas. And in a sense, this school improvement fund is asking schools to make choices on what they think is most important for their school districts. Just like states, school districts will be making those choices on best practices and what they believe is best for their school district. I will give you an example where I think that we might expect some improvement, but one where we should be at least open to the idea that there's going to be some experimentation. If you lower class sizes in first, second grade, you should expect ultimately some improvement over a prolonged period of time, probably in the neighborhood of 3 to 5 years. In many cases, for some issues, it may take longer than that, and some may be in the 3 to 4 year range. In sum, if we're expecting in one of the aspects of the underlying bill to improve retention of students, even with best practices, we anticipate that some school districts will try different things to retain students and to allow them to complete their education. In trying those things, even though they're best practices, some of them may prove very worthwhile, some may not. And that's part of this, is trying to figure out what we can do to actually improve the school environment. So none of this is as guaranteed as it might appear on paper. We're only anticipating with this is that the school districts will report on their progress, and we know that they will make a good effort in doing that, and we know that it will take some time and some consistent investment over a period of time, growing investment, to actually show improvement.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Any other comments? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having been a particular proponent, that's, I guess, putting it the wrong way, having been something of a critic of this proposal from the very onset, I remain somewhat pessimistic about it. Obviously, from my first comments in relationship to the bill issue just previously voted on, it's not because I think it's too much money that we're involved in here, but merely that I think it is directed in somewhat of the wrong way. I guess I would kind of have a question of Senator Devlin and members of the committee on this. If this money were just merely a part of the state school fund, rather than under some continuous improvement plan euphemism, would not the local schools do the same thing? Would they not use the money for the improvement of and for the betterment of the education as they see in their district? I mean, after all, we are hiring professional educators out there. We have a Department of Education to provide them guidance, to provide them advice. We have people with graduate degrees that are involved in running these schools. And the fact is, they're the ones that are on the ground and in their local districts with their unique problems. Wouldn't they be using the money the same way? My contention is they would, and my contention is that that this SIP is interesting. Because I referred to this in some other ways at other times, as some of you would remember, which I will not put on the record.
Well,
I've been on the record. Go ahead.
I refer to it as a slush fund, and I refer to the fact that every superintendent and administrator in the state has gone around and purchased all of the straws they can, so that they can get into the slush fund and sip the dollars out for their local district, sort of thing. So, and I'm not objecting to the money. I certainly am an advocate of improving education from the preschool on through the university level, and in this case, the K-12 or PK-12 level. But I just would have much preferred that we put it, as part of the state school fund, and not left the potential there for those with creative minds or in their administration to write proposals and grants to a point where the rich get richer and the poor get poor. And as a consequence, while I will support this, I do oppose to the principle that's involved and think it's the wrong direction for us to be taking.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. I thought you told me that administrators weren't creative.
They weren't what?
Creative.
I didn't say they were the ones that were creative. They've got all of this hard-working faculty out there.
Oh, okay.
They're creative.
That was an offline discussion. Okay. Yeah. Just a joke. Further discussion?
Jonathan.
Oh! Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Representative Jensen may be misled on the nature of the school improvement fund. This is not a competitive grant program. The monies will be distributed on an NEMW basis, but it does require districts to submit the continuous improvement plan so that the state understands how they will spend the money, and then it will be dedicated to an evidence-based program. If this were the only accountability measure, I would have issue with it because the time frame allowed for presenting the data at the end of the biennium will not be indicative of true progress. Some of the other measures that I hope will pass soon, such as the ODE budget, which includes the growth model, which will allow us to better understand adequate yearly progress, are better measures of performance. However, I do applaud the notion of trying to apply some accountability in this case, and will continue to seek some other accountability measures.
Thank you, Representative Edwards. Representative Barnhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that reasonable and appropriate accountability measures are important. If the state's going to be the primary funder for education, we have to do that, and we should do it on behalf of our children. However, I would have preferred to have this fund as a part of the state school fund.
Thank you, Representative Morgan.
I appreciate the comments that my colleagues have made today, and don't have very much to add. I also agree that this should be part of the state school fund. I think that having it be a separate fund, we don't have a great track record in this building of putting these kinds of short-term programs in place and getting very reasonable results out of them. In fact, I don't think we've been successful at all in doing that. I think that the performance measures that are attached to the state school fund are very solid performance measures that do a good job of telling us how we're doing over time. And they that's the place where this money should go, because the accountability measures are really in there. And that there is nothing, I very much share Representative Jensen's view, there is nothing that is going to go on with this money in the school improvement fund that is not going to go on in the state school fund. And there already is a set of performance measures. There already is a very accountable system here that works. And I honestly don't see the point in creating a little side world here that is supposed to be somehow the same but different than the main funding stream. I think it's inefficient. I think to be able to gauge advances or progress that's being made with this small amount of money in this large ocean of functionality here is going to be at best ethereal. We're not going to get the kind of result readings from this that we expect to get. I realize that this is an attempt to hold the system to some degree of accountability and encourage creativity in how it's applied. But I do think that we also have the same expectations about the way that we have the state school fund spent. And I do think that folding this money into the state school fund is by far a better way to administer this investment.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Other comments?
Excuse me. I would have to say I agree with Representative Jensen and Representative Morgan. I think you're right. We've, to a large extent, starved our K-12 system and asked everyone working there to do more with less, and then talking about accountability and transparency, and that's important to do. But as Representative Jensen said, I'm not objecting to the money, and I think that really captures my sentiment. I think to the extent we're providing more resources so that the professionals in the classroom can do what they need to do to help educate young Oregonians, that's why I'm going to be supporting this. So I appreciate the comments.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the LFO recommendations relative to House Bill 5021, including the budget note that we've been discussing.
Senator Devlin has moved the LFO recommendations relative to House Bill 5021, including the budget note that we've been discussing. Are there any objections? Representative Morgan? Other objections? Okay. Noting the objection from Representative Morgan, motion carries. Okay. Now,
what we need another?
Oh, another motion.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 5021 to the full committee as clarified with the budget note. To the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Devlin has moved LFO recommendation House Bill 5021 be moved to the full committee. 5021 as clarified be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? No objection from Representative Morgan. And seeing none, the motion carries. And in terms of carriers, Senator Deckert, would you carry it to the Senate floor?
I might have to carry it to the House floor, too, because none of them liked it. Come over and can I do that and carry it on the House side?
Can we do that?
No.
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 We can't even speak.
I don't know. What about being creative?
You
can use some school agreement.
Bicameral carrier. So
yeah.
So this is a yes that you will carry it to the...
I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you, Senator Decker. We'll carry it to the Senate floor.
He worked on this very hard in the interim. and the Senate Commission on Educational Excellence.
We appreciate that, and the chair will carry it to the House floor and to the full committee. So I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5021, and we're going to 5019, or we're going to 19. We're going to 5019. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5019, the Oregon Department of Education Operations and Grant and Aid. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Hill.
Well, Mr. Chair, you may remember that we actually went through this budget last Tuesday. The LFO has read the recommendations. We had a discussion about that. We actually read through the budget notes, but no actions were taken on either the LFO recommendation nor the budget notes, and we had not yet discussed performance measures. So we can go wherever you would like.
I'm going to let you make that decision, because I was half paying attention because I was...
Let's discuss the performance measures, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
That's probably the easiest place to start, Mr.
Chair.
That is definitely the easiest.
Attached to your packet is performance measures, and again, there are the two additions to what I handed out on this bill a week ago, one being the state school fund, which we already discussed, another one being the budget note concerning the school improvement fund, which we also discussed. Those are the last two things. The department has done a number of things with their performance measures over the last 3 to 4 years. They did a major reorganization, and as part of that, they basically built their performance measures from the ground up. The Joint Legislative Audit Committee reviewed their performance measures last September, and given the timing of the performance measures, they actually listened to the 0709 measures and made suggestions there. With that, which is one of the confusing things you may see here, is as you're looking through the performance measures, when it says about their deletions on page 3 of this handout, those are actually the deletions from 0507. If you looked at the differences between the Joint Legislative Audit Committee version and what was here, you would just see that all they're really doing is proposing three measures. The deletion of three measures. Those three measures have actually been combined into one measure and become metrics of key performance measure number 5, high school graduation. During the interim, between JLAC and in the session here, Legislative Fiscal Office had a number of discussions with the department on their performance measures, one of them being their targets. Their targets were set at about 100% for every single one of them, and while that is a great ideal, they weren't realistic targets. And so from our suggestion, they have taken a number of them and made them more realistic. They still have a couple of them. Key performance measure number 12, which is the measure concerning safe schools. LFO would recommend that target gets changed to 10 for both 08 and 09, and that KPM number 18, which is the timely public reports, instead of being 100%, gets moved down to 85%, which is, again, a much more realistic goal. More than half their measures still do not have data or targets, and part of that is because they are still working with, they have a number of folks that they have to work with to get those, but the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that that they come back to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee before the next legislative session with complete targets for all measures, as well as updated actual information for all measures. Specifically, the integrated data transfer system, the last six measures, have had no data, and those were approved by JLAC over a year ago. So I think it's the Legislative Fiscal Office would recommend that they definitely return before next session with at least some actual data and updated targets for all of their performance measures. I have also listed out the policy option packages that were in the LFO recommendation and the impacts that they have on each of the measures. The KIDS project policy option package number 118 will have an impact on 21, 22, 24, and 25. though we don't have any actual target data yet for those measures, we do know that it will have an impact. This is, again, one of the reasons why we need to have updated information. Policy option package number 126, the growth model, will have an impact on key performance measure number 4. Again, agency is still working on that performance measure, getting the right data and the right information together for that. Policy option package number 313, the Oregon Virtual School District, would have an impact on key performance measure number 10, and it would increase the target by 3% in 2008 and 7% in 2009. The last one is policy option package 351, Oregon Pre-K. It would have an impact on key performance measure number 1. The impact would be affected by the amount of money approved for the package. The targets would be 66% for 2008 and 75% in 2009 at the LFO recommended level.
Representative Morgan.
A question. On the performance measures, or the policy option packages, on the performance measures that are impacted by policy option packages that don't have any data in them, what's the discussion around being able to figure out what the impact of the policy option package on the performance?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, that was kind of the point that I had made with the agency. I don't know if they would like to come forward and have that discussion. They have identified those performance measures as being impacted, yet we do not have actual data or targets for those measures. That was my concern.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, are they going to bring forward two sets of goals, or how is that going to be dealt with?
Costi. Good afternoon. Jerry Blasio, Representative Morgan. For your record, Doug Costi, Assistant Superintendent, Assessment and Information Services. And the policy option packages, as I recall during my presentation for Ways and Means, we had established some metrics, so I was a little surprised to see no data in there. Specifically, for kids, and if you want me to, I can certainly go into each and every one of them and describe what they are.
I'm more interested in that you are going to present us with some kind of way to gauge what impact these policy option packages have had on outcomes. So whether you're going to have some measurement that would reflect what would have happened without the policy option package, and then some level of measurement that increases the expectations to some degree. And I'm just curious that we have some way to gauge what impact these investments are having on performance measures.
Chair Galizio, Representative Morgan, we can certainly do that. I believe that this would be a conversation we would need to have with our stakeholders and agree to what the baseline would look like and what incremental value was received as a result of that. It's something that, given the fact that the pilots, there are 4 pilots up and running, we can go back to them, have that quality conversation, and be able to come back and report on what impact it would have on the other KPMs.
Mr. Chair, if I could, I would appreciate if this was somehow noted in the record so that when they came back, it was very clear that we needed to be able to have some kind of measurements in there that allowed us to make those comparisons.
Mr. Thank you, Representative Warner.
Yes, I might. I would be more than happy to do that. I have talked to the department. They have discussed this, and they are going to put a huge effort into doing this. But absolutely, I will make sure that as we look at which policy option packages there, that we know what the impact of the approval of each one of those packages was.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Darren, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we are lacking a quorum in the Senate, and so it would be inappropriate for me to try to make a motion at this time.
Well,
I can put some more things on the record we need to put on the record. I think we should use our time
judiciously, so if you have other things that you want to say.
Okay.
Will you finish with the
performance?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Did you do budget notes yet?
No, we've been waiting to do that.
We did budget notes. I read the budget notes in last time. I think it might be an ongoing discussion.
Okay. I believe Senator Walker has a couple items of discussion. I just want to get one thing on record relative to the budget notes. It's relative to the transportation alternatives. There is an omission in this budget note that I would hope that would be reflected in the budget report, and I've discussed it with one of the co-chairs. We're not recommending any change to the budget note at this time. But this is the budget note on transportation alternatives, where it talks that the study should ensure a focus on reducing costs and increasing efficiency. Obviously, inherent in that is that our number one priority is to continue to ensure student safety in our transportation system for Oregon school children. So if we could have that noted in the budget report, it would be helpful.
Thank you, Senator Devlin.
And then I believe Senator Walker has something to say.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, absolutely, Senator Walker.
Thank you.
Please.
I had that discussion with Senator Devlin, particularly since we both co-sponsored a bill about safe routes to schools. Student safety should be a number one priority in discussing transportation issues. I have questions about the School for the Blind, School for the Deaf budget note. And I want to know what this means. I'd really like to hear from the department. It appears to me that they can go about the sale without any buy-off from the legislature. And I'm totally opposed to merger of the two schools. I think this legislature, it's our decision to make. The superintendent can make recommendations, but I don't believe this decision lies in the Department of Education. And I'm very concerned that this budget note would allow them to do that by just coming to an emergency board or a joint committee on ways and means, and there's no discussion point in here. So I need some more clarification, if I could.
Thank you, Senator Walker. So, do we have somebody from the department who would be willing to speak to that budget note? Mr. Dennis?
Ed Dennis, Department of Education, Deputy Superintendent. Chair Galizio, Senator Walker, we've done some research on this, and it's our understanding, and lots of consultation with legislative counsel, that the way the law is currently written, that the superintendent does have the authority to determine where the programs are placed. And so the budget note is, to me, represents a desire on the legislature for us to come back and to connect and to communicate and loop in and not to get out in front of the legislative process. And we respect that intent, and we're okay with the budget note if you all want to put it on there.
Sam Walker.
Okay, so you believe the department has the ability to combine the schools, co-locate the schools if you choose, without legislative input. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
I believe that the law says that the superintendent, the State Board of Education, can decide where the programs are located as long as they're located somewhere in Marion County, according to state law.
Okay, I have a follow-up question. Does that same authority, and I believe I have a relating to education, my committee is still sitting there, so I can take care of that little problem if I need to, but does that same authority that you believe you have give you the right to sell? That's a hard word for me to say. Sale? Make a sale of the school, either or both, without legislative approval.
Chair Glazio, Senator Walker, I believe it does.
Well, that's fascinating. The department has the ability to sell a piece of property, a school, without legislative authority.
Mr. Chair, if I might, the one control that you do have is there is no limitation given to the department to move forward here. So
they do not have any way to expend money to do this project. And that is part of, in the budget notes, requesting that they come forward with the RFP before it ever goes out, and to come back, to the expectation is to come back to the legislature in a special session for 2008. But the one control that you do have is that they do not have any limitation to spend any money to do this project.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, Senator Walker, just because I think you're asking important questions. I mean, the way I read this budget note, I mean, Mr. Dennis, you talk about, it says you have to connect, communicate and loop in with the legislature, but I think it's, I don't know if those words are really accurately convey what needs to happen as far as what I'm reading here, and in terms of where Senator Walker's going. It seems to me there the legislature certainly has some input, and I think Mr. Hill makes that even clearer, that if the legislature should disapprove of the proposal, that it's more than looping in. So, Senator Walker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am alarmed to learn that we've given so much authority about these two schools to the department. We can address that later, but I would like this budget note to be very explicit that the expenditure limitation or anything that we do should be written in here, but it has to go through a policy committee as well as the special session. I don't think it just comes to Ways and Means. I think this is a policy issue that deserves a great deal of discussion. And I've made a commitment, I suspect, or I could be wrong, that I'm chairing the education committee in the interim, and I've made a commitment to make this a top priority in my committee to look at taking these two schools out of the Department of Education and establishing them as their own state agency, whether that's workable or not. And because I'm getting pushback from the department about the task force that I have in Senate Bill 757, so should I not get that task force, I'm going to do it on my own anyway, in the committee, and we're going to have a great deal of discussion about whether these two schools should become their own state agency, which they are in several states. Several states set it up that way. So I just want to have some kind of assurance in this budget note that they cannot do anything without a policy committee addressing this issue and us buying off on the sale.
Okay, thank you, Senator Walker. I have a procedural inquiry of Mr. Hill. So, at this point, if someone were to sort of make a, what are the options in terms of making some kind of a motion that we could vote on, or conceptual amendment, or how?
Mr. Chair, are you speaking specifically to the budget note?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, that's kind of up to you. My understanding is that the co-chairs need to approve any budget notes that go forward. And I think they have approved this version, but I don't know that they have approved any changes to it.
Okay.
So I think that's...
Let me ask you another question. Your analysis of the way you read this budget note, does this give the department any more authority than they currently have in statute?
Mr. Chair, budget notes by definition do not have any statutory authority. They cannot give or restrict in any way statutorily. They are, it's basically to help clarify the desire of the committee and or asking them to take an action to report back or to do something. So it does not have any effect of law.
Okay, thank you. All right, Representative Edwards.
Mr. Co-Chair, if I may, I'd like to ask...
Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. So, different budgets, yeah.
I'd like to ask Mr. Dennis to help us define the purpose of the budget note. As I read it, it appears to me the budget note merely directs the Oregon Department of Education to conduct an analysis, in other words, to determine the feasibility of moving the Oregon School for the Blind to the Oregon School for the Deaf campus, but does not authorize any action beyond mere analysis. Is that correct or not?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, that's my understanding of the words in the budget note.
Thank you, Representative Edwards. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of how I'm reading. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of things. First off, I think by definition it cannot authorize, since it doesn't have the effective statute sort of thing, a budget note. So, I share a good deal of Senator Walker's concerns, and I'm interested in the time schedule on this particular area, the budget notes. So, in terms of when action here is required for us to be done. And specifically where I'm going with this, Mr. Chair, is I hear the, Mr. Dennis saying that he has some kind of a legal opinion that they have authority to do some things, but I didn't get any citation of where that, was coming from with that. And before I'm comfortable with this, I would like to have legislative counsel so give me a legal opinion on this whole issue, the pros, the cons, the good, the bad, and where, what may transpire, may not transpire with it in that regard.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Morgan.
There are, it appears, going to be issues around expenditure limitations that are going to cause you to have to come back to this body to report what you want to do and get an okay from us about whether we think it's a good idea or not also. It also says in here that the results of the processes will be reported to the special session of the legislature in February of 08, so I would assume that it would be safe there to imply that this would be going to both the policy side of the legislature and the fiscal side of the legislature. And I don't know whether that meets your needs or not, Senator Walker, but it would seem to me that it wouldn't be a stretch here to assume that a report to the legislature is a report to both the policy and fiscal parts of the legislature.
Mr. Chair and Representative Morgan, I appreciate that, but I have learned a long time ago in my 51 years, never to assume anything, and I'm not clearly spelled out. I mean, absolutely abundantly clearly spelled out, because I've not seen this legal opinion Representative Jensen has asked for it, and that Mr. Dennis is representing they have. I did not agree that the process in the task force they had in determining whether to combine the two schools was as complete as the department says it was. I've seen the list of participants. I know that when I had a work group on Senate Bill 757, it was a very diverse work group. And we brought in interpreters so that people could participate. And I just didn't see that much diversity in the participation in that process. And I'm just really highly suspect about anything in this budget note unless it's clearly spelled out.
Thank you, Senator Walker. So I've just gotten word that the senators are due on the floor. So once there he is, Representative Barnett. So we need to, I'm going to have Senator Devlin start doing motions on the budget, because okay. You all have to be on the floor for a quorum.
So where does that leave us with the budget now?
I think we'll have a separate motion on the budget note, and parties are free to vote their conscience on the budget note, and then we'll have a motion on the full.
But parties are always free to vote however they want.
I know, my committee.
For the record, Mr. Chair, I don't get to make any suggested changes to the budget note other than to hear myself speak, which I've just done for the last 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, a Stepford way. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm not voting on this budget. I mean, come on. Let's have some conversation about this budget note. If I'm the only one who feels that way, I'm okay with that.
Well, that's why I think if we can, I think having a separate vote on that particular budget note, we can find out.
okay?
No.
Well,
I guess that's what I'm...
I mean, I hear Mr. Hill tell us we can't make any changes unless the co-chairs agree to it. What are we doing here? If we can't make any suggested changes to a budget note. I would have pushed back on another potential change I wanted to make today. Right. I know, Richard, you want to speak. But I'm really upset about this. I just...
Right. Can't tell and you I should... And I... And I should have gotten to you more quickly these budget notes. Bottom line is I'd like to vote out the Department of Education's budget. I don't want to hold it sort of hostage. If you prefer not to, that we not take that out and have that separate vote on that, we can do that. Or you can feel free to vote. You know, like I said, you can vote and vote against the entire budget. I mean, it's.
Senator Morse.
I don't know whether there's precedent for it or not, but could we trailer the budget notes next Tuesday and allow a little bit of soap time conversation in crafting of appropriate language that addresses some of these concerns and then trailer it back up? Is there any precedent for that?
I'm not familiar with the trailering.
No, I've not seen.
Yeah, I mean the chair's preference. You know, the chair's preference is I want to be focusing on post-secondary education starting next week when we come back from our Monday holiday. So the chair wants to just vote on the Department of Education budget, including this. And if anyone wants to vote the whole thing down because they this then that's what my strong preference is. That's what I want to do,
Mr. Chairman. I think actually, without what's happening with budget notes is, I think, a number of us have been on Ways and Means for a while, and Susan Morgan's probably been representing Morgan's been on for longer than I have. And while budget notes have to be approved by the co-chairs, they are often recommended by members to the co-chairs. Co-chairs often change budget notes. You know, when an LFO recommendation comes out and I see a budget note on there that the co-chairs have put in, if I disagree with it, if it's in Mr. Siebert's area in natural resources, I'm on the phone with Mr. Siebert almost immediately saying I disagree with the budget note, and I try to change it. I think the point we're at here now is so that we've been working on this, the Department of Ed's budget now for about 10 days, literally. And I know that some parties have come in and have made objections to this budget note, I think in the last 48 hours, to be honest. And to me, I know that that particular budget note is something that in some ways I think...
Senator Evelyn?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to interrupt you because we're about to do a call with Senate. So
okay.
I want to... Let's...
Yeah, I thought so.
I appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to look for a better way to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do what the chair desires. I move the following amendments to House Bill to the LFO recommendations. I move to the LFO recommendations with the following amendments to policy option package 812. Reducing the study on career and technical education from $250,000 to $195,000. On policy option package 192, Chess for Success in Civics Education from $0 in the LFO recommendation to $100,000 to be split evenly between $50,000 for Chess for Success and $50,000 for civics, which is actually a joint task force on civics and financial education. And policy option package 358, mentoring teachers from $0 to $5 million general fund in relation to another bill that we have on the agenda today, House Bill 2574A. I also add a new package of $150,000 additional for the SMART program. With $103,100 in their base, this will give an appropriation to the SMART program of $253,100.
Senator Devlin has moved to House Bill
Move to amend the LFO recommendation.
The LFO recommendation of House Bill 5019. You heard all of the amendments and changes. Any discussion? Senator Decker.
I do need to say this, that I haven't said anything about how insane this process is and all the Byzantine rules that we abide by that are just mind-numbing to me. We go to here and a note shows up here. And so I'm making the commitment today that we can't change this session, but that no future legislature in this part of the building goes through this experience again, because this is not fair. I'm not sure that I'm with this senator on the budget note that she's talking about, but I know I'm there, that no future person that ever sits in these chairs goes through this process again, and I commit to that and will use every ounce of breath I have once we sign EDI to ensure that happens.
Thanks, Senator Decker. Representative Marner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I second that idea completely. I believe that we are engaged in a process that is flawed in its basic structure, that does not allow for the kind of democratic and public process that we intended for the legislature to have. And while I don't know whether I agree with it, Senator Walker, on this particular issue, there isn't any question at all that she's right on the process. We got to fix this. We can't do it this way ever again.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Representative Jensen.
Thank you. Just very quickly, Mr. Chair, as I've already expressed, I share some of Senator Walker's concerns on this issue. And I will be looking for a legislative council opinion on this prior to the time that this particular legislation, this particular bill comes to the full Ways and Means. In the event that we get some conflicting things from the full Ways and or from the legislative council, it will be my intention to pursue with the co-chairs an amendment to this in the full Ways and Means when we get there.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Representative Morgan.
Again, very briefly, Mr. Chair, this is extremely frustrating. The conceptual amendments are being made to the bill in a motion with no attempt to discuss them. The transportation alternative budget note, I don't know if you're proposing to do amendments to it or not. It has no funding attached to it at all. I have huge misgivings about this. I much appreciate there are aspects of this bill that are very good and very solid. But again, without seeing the full picture here is, another over $1.5 billion in total funds that's going out the door without knowing where we're going in the bigger sense. And so I would just, voice my... I'm voting no on this budget. It's very frustrating.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Senator Morse.
I'll be very brief. With respect to the process, I would encourage all of you to look at Senate Bill 474. It is now being assigned to the General Government Subcommittee of Ways and Means. It's a pretty systemic budget reform concept. That if it comes out of that committee, it will be coming to us in full.
Thank you, Senator.
So there are better ways of skinning the cat.
Senator Walker.
30 seconds, Mr. Sure. Chair. I've already said my piece about the budget notes, and it's not in this motion. We have not funded the Native American Education Coordinator position. We made it very clear to the co-chair, Senator Devlin, that is a high priority for me on this ad back list, and I would hope that you would take a look at that yourself as we look at adding things back in the budget.
Thank you, Senator Walker. So there's a motion on the table. House Bill 5019 is all of the LFL recommendation.
As amended.
Are there any objections? Note an objection by Representative Morgan. With that, motion carries. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move the budget notes as presented.
Senator Devlin has moved the budget notes to House Bill 5019
We ask that in the record my earlier comments relative to the transportation alternatives be reflected and the dissent within the committee over budget note 1 be reflected.
You've heard the motion.
My comments, I'm objecting, and my comments are on the record already. I don't need to say any more.
Okay, so is that a no? You're voting no?
I'm voting no on the budget notes.
No on the budget notes.
For all that does mean.
Other objections?
I'm not objecting, Mr. Chair, but I do want to note also that I have reservations about the transportation alternatives budget note, given that there is no budget for it. And my hope is that we'll move another accountability measure forward that does include the actual budget.
As I discussed with you earlier, Mr. Chair, this is very fruitful ground for streamlining and efficiencies within the spending in the K-12 system. If you look at transportation spending across the state, it varies widely, and there isn't really any apparent reason that you can come to about why some districts spend such a higher percentage of their funding on it than other districts. This is a study that needs to be happen, and this will enrich our discussions in future sessions about how to get more money into the classroom. It's an important thing to put into the budget, but if you don't put any funding in it and you just throw it at the department and hope that they'll put some energy into doing it, you don't have any guarantee that what you're going to get out the other side is going to really inform the discussion. So I very much urge that there is some kind of mechanism here for the department to come back to the emergency board and be able to make the case for funding or some kind of way to legitimize this.
Okay, thank you. So I'd say on the budget notes, objection from Senator Walker. Are there any other objections? And Senator, Representative Morgan, with that, motion carries. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 5019. The presented performance measures. Move approval of the performance measures.
Senator Devlin has moved it
for the. The co-chair often believes I'm trying to put money in the Department of Education because I keep referring to it as DOE, Oregon Department of Education.
Senator Devlin has moved the performance measures for the Department of Education. Any discussion? Are there any objections to the performance measures? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 5019 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Devlin has moved House Bill 5019 as recommended and amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Representative Morgan? So note objection by Representative Morgan. Motion carries.
Do you want to carry this forward?
I think we probably need to do that. So I'm going to close the work session on 5019 and note House Bill 2574A relating to mentoring will be carried forward to Tuesday. So, with that, we're adjourned.